Good morning, house. Today is the 11th, or the, pardon me, the 13th day of the session. I really wanted to go back a couple of days. 13th day of the session, March 1st, 2006. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Holden. Anderson. Bagby. Carter. Berger. Rectal. Brown. Buchanan. Fields. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Kay. Gilmore. Gingery. Goggles. Hageman. Hageman. Hammonds. Harshman. Harshman. Harvey. Hastert. Hinckley. Michael. Illaway. Jackson. Jones. Jorgensen. Landon. Lockhart. Lubnow. Martin. McComey. Mercer. Miley. Miller. Morgan. Olson. Osborne. Patterson. Peterson. Phil. Powers. Korberg. Mr. Minority Floor Leader. Robinson. Samuelson. Simwick. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Slaver. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Wesselberger. Watt. White. Sponsor. Mr. Speaker. Alden. Harshman. Harshman excused. Robinson. Robinson excused. Walsh. Walsh excused. Wasserberger. Wasserberger excused. 56 present, 4 excused.
Thank you, Madam Chief Clerk. Today the prayer will be offered by the Reverend Daniel Heaney from the chaplain from the United Medical Center of Cheyenne.
Gracious God, we come before you today, thanking you for the life and breath you have given to each and every one of us. We thank you for the people of this great state and the resources you have entrusted to us. I pray this morning for this legislative body before me, that you would grant them wisdom, discernment, and boldness in their decisions. Help them to understand all sides of the issues before them and to make decisions in the best interest of the people of Wyoming. Give them strength and stamina for the day ahead of them. Keep them from debating over petty issues and to be able to deal with the most essential issues facing our state. I thank you for the wisdom, discernment, and boldness you will give them today. Give them unity and peace today. We ask you to protect the citizens of Wyoming and the United States. Protect our military here and throughout the world who are in harm's way. We ask all of this in your name. Amen.
Thank you so much. Any clerk will read the journal committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your journal committee reports that the journal of February 28, 2006 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Goggles, Representative Wanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Reading Clerk. Representative Moore.
Mr. Speaker, that proposal for you, sir. Mr. Speaker, in the House today, we have some modern gas turbines and noise on the outside. So, and the last thing about one of them is outside of Cheyenne. As a weather pole over there. So, the way I'm here today is the sixth grade students in Appalachia with their teachers, Catherine Filio, Gary Rocker, and also for the members of the PTA assistants with Philip and Jennifer Mayle. Would you welcome, please?
Thank you and welcome to the House. We knew you were here because we could hear your voices during the plenum, so we appreciate it. Yes. Representative Hester.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
You may, please proceed.
I received an email this morning and I thought was interesting. And as I thought for the day, I thought I'd read it. And it's entitled, A Billion. The next time you hear a politician use the word billion casually, think about whether you'd want them to spend your tax money. A billion is a difficult number to comprehend. But what advertising agency did a good job of putting that figure into perspective in one of its releases? A billion seconds ago was 1959. A billion minutes ago, Jesus was alive. A billion hours ago, our ancestors were living in the Stone Age. A billion days ago, no one walked on 2 feet on the earth. A billion dollars ago, it was only 8 hours and 20 minutes. And to that, federal government's pension.
Thank you, Representative Walker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
I think the global economy will be the movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger and And anyway, that was Trolls, was the name of the movie. And here we are in the prison. This is my
opinion. I'm practically speechless. What will leave us speeches are the messages from the Senate. Mr. Reading Clerk, would you please?
Message 116, Mr. Speaker, the bills as well pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate Bill 3, Advanced Practice Registered Nurses in Psychiatry, I-30-0, signed Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 169, Mr. Speaker, the bills as well pass the Senate on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Senate Bill 57, Medical Specialty Centers, I-27-3, signed Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 170, Mr. Speaker, the bills as well pass the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 68, Unfair Claim Settlement Practices, I-22-8, signed Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 171, Mr. Speaker, the bills as well pass the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 70, Nursing Care Facility Construction, I-30-0, signed Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 172, Mr. Speaker, the bills as below pass the Senate on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 74, Changes to Water Use Study, I-30-0, signed Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 173, Mr. Speaker, the bills as below pass the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 86, Higher Education Appropriations, I-30-0, signed Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 174, Mr. Speaker, the bills as below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 92, State Employees Expense Allowance, I-29, Conflict 1, signed Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 175, Mr. Speaker, the bills as below pass the Senate on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 93,
coal bed, natural gas, water, use sub 1, eyes 27, nose 2, excuse 1, signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 176, Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 97, Tracking of Registered Sex Offenders, Pilot Project, Eyes 17, Nose 13, signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 177, Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 98, Health Insurance, Small Employer Carrier Reinsurance. Eyes 30, Nose 0, signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 178, Mr. Speaker, the bills as below pass the Senate on third reading in the form, minute form by the vote indicated. Senate File 99, Wyoming Structured Settlement Protection Act, Eyes 30, Nose 0, signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 179, Mr. Speaker, the bills as below pass the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 100, College Aptitude Test State Payment. Eyes 30, Nose 0, signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 180, Mr. Speaker, the bills as below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 106, Immunizations by Pharmacists. Eyes 30, Nose 0, signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 181, Mr. Speaker, the bills as below pass the Senate on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 109, School Administrators Loan Fund. Eyes 29, Nose 1, signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 182, Mr. Speaker, the bills as to below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 110, Uniform Probate Code Task Force. Eyes 30, Nose 0, signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 183, Mr. Speaker, the bills as to below pass the Senate on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 108, Challenge Program for Social Services. Eyes 23, Nose 7, signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 184, Mr. Speaker, the bills as to below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate Joint Resolution number 4, Higher Education Endowment Funds. Eyes 27, Nose 3, signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Thank you, Mr. Reading Clerk. Doctor of the Day is Dr. Tom Radosevich, MD from Casper. Nurse of the Day is Toma Nisbet from the Mobile Healthcare Service here in Cheyenne. Let's welcome them. Senate files on first reading. First Senate file for consideration is Senate File 57.
Senate File 57, introduced by the Labor Committee.
First reading of the bill.
Activating in public health and safety medical specialty centers.
Senate File 57 is introduced, referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 68.
Senate File 68, introduced by Senator Cohen.
First reading of the bill.
Activating in unfair insurance claim settlement.
Senate File 68 is introduced, referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 70.
Senate File 70, introduced by Senator Pick.
First reading of the bill.
Activating public health emergency care facility construction.
Senate File 70 is introduced, referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 74.
Senate File 74, introduced by Senator Pacey.
First reading of the bill.
Activating water changes to water supply use study.
Senate File 74 is introduced, referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Next bill for consideration is Senate File 86.
Senate File 86 is introduced by the Education Committee.
First reading of the bill.
Related to higher education and appropriations.
Senate File 86 is introduced, referred to Committee Number 4, Education. Next bill for consideration is Senate File 93.
Senate File 93 is introduced by Senator Gass.
First reading of the bill.
Related to clean natural gas water use.
Senate File 93 is introduced, referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 97.
Senate File 97 is introduced by Senator Jennings.
First reading of the bill.
Activating the sex offenders tracking and registered sex offenders pilot program.
Senate File 97 is introduced, referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 98.
Senate File 98 is introduced by Senator Scott.
First reading of the bill.
Activating health insurance. Small employer carrier reinsurance.
Senate Bill 98 is introduced, referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. Next bill for consideration is Senate Bill 99.
Senate Bill 99, introduced by Senator Ross.
First reading of the bill.
Regulated to civil procedure, Board of Structured Settlement Protection Act.
Senate Bill 99 is introduced, referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Next bill for consideration is Senate Bill 100.
Introduced by Senator Boggs.
First reading of the bill.
Regulated education, college attitude test state program.
Senate Bill 100 is introduced, referred to Committee Number 4, Education. Next bill for our consideration is Senate Bill 108.
Senate Bill 108, introduced by Senator Larson.
First reading of the bill.
Enacting administration of government challenge program for social services.
Senate Bill 108 is introduced, referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Last Senate file for our consideration is Senate Bill 109.
Senate Bill 109, introduced by Senator Joe.
First reading of the bill.
Education, school administrators,
and Senate Bill 109 is introduced, referred to Committee Number 4, Education. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate Bill 39 gross. Respect to the report sitting back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Alden, Bagby, Buchanan, Landon, Lebno, Wilson, Robinson, Watt, White, Senate Representative Landon, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 3 on Revenue, to whom was referred Senate Bill 11 in gross. Respect to the report sitting back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Anderson, Buchholz, Gay, Kilmore, Harshman, Hester, Miller, Patterson, Walsh, Senate Representative Patterson, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 30, Billing, Gross. Respectfully report sitting back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Anderson, Buchholz, Harshman, Hester, Miller, Patterson, Walsh, Hill, Gay, Kilmore, Senate Representative Anderson, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 27, in gross. Respectfully report sitting back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Edwards, Escobel, Gay, Kilmore, Patterson, Powers, Slater, Walsh, Sponsor, Sign, Representative Edwards, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate 580. Respectfully report sitting back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Edwards, Escobel, Gay, Kilmore, Patterson, Powers, Slater, Walsh, Sponsor, Sign, Representative Edwards, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 83. Respectfully report sitting back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Bechtel, Escobel, Hammonds, Harvey, Hinckley, Lockhart, Mercer, Goldberg, Samuelson, Senate Representative Lockhart, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 12, Rules and Procedures, to whom was referred Senate File 6 in post. Respectfully report sitting back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Holden, Anderson, Holloway, Luthy, Martin, Osborne, Philp, Reese, Robinson, Simpson, Thompson, Wasserbergers, Absent, Cody, Senate Representative Luthy, Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Reading Clerk. Are there any pre-referrals? Seeing none. We're now on that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. And members of the House, I would like to comment on the number of third reading amendments that have been introduced this morning. This bill has been laid back once that I know of. And I just want to remind representatives, it's often very unfair to the sponsors of the bill when the third reading, particularly third reading amendments, start flowing out late in the process. I hope that you all talk to the sponsors of the bill, the committee members, and let them know that this is coming. We're now in that order of business again on third reading and final passage. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 92.
House Bill 92, introduced by the Labor Committee, and related to child caring facilities, quality child care, made enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There are some amendments to House Bill 92. The first one is third reading amendment number 1, which is a delete the enactment clause. We'll take that amendment up last. Let's move on to third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 92. Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem, would you like to move that amendment?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I will second Third Reading Amendment number 2 to House Bill 92. This amendment does two things. In the first part of the amendment, down to line 20, this language makes House Bill 92 consistent with House Bill 91, the Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services, in the contractual reporting and contractual requirements, in that DFS shall structure its contracts with facilities to ensure necessary data is reported uniformly. And this is the same language that is in the substance abuse portion and the mental health portion of House Bill 91. The contract shall specify what services will be provided under the contract and the outcome measures to be achieved to allow the department to determine compliance with contract provisions. The services provided, the outcomes achieved, and to determine the extent of statewide needs based on the reports received. And so, paragraph J, DFS shall develop an outcomes measurement and data infrastructure system for purposes of performance measurement and quality improvement of services provided by facilities under contract with the department. To access, to address statewide planning for quality improvement and increased availability of child care facilities, I believe this is consistent with the policy we adopted in House Bill 91. It should be really a policy that we adopt agency-wide throughout Wyoming whenever we're contracting and spending state dollars. The second part of the amendment goes to really the guts of it on page 10 of the bill. And in that, on page 10 of the bill, and so paragraph C, it talks about quality incentive payments under this section shall not exceed 50% of the current statewide market rate for child care, as established by the market rate survey required to be conducted by the department under the provisions of 45 Code of Federal Regulations 98.43. Now, what that means is that the statewide market rate for child care is $6,000 per year pursuant to that survey that's conducted. Now, the way this language reads in the original bill, it would be 50% of that would be applied to, this figure was used to calculate the estimated cost of House Bill 92 for the coming biennium and the two bienniums after that. In the Appropriations Committee, it became clear that the actual calculations that they were using to determine the appropriation was based on $3,000 per child and not $3,000 per facility. But we pointed this out to them, and they said, well, we did use a per-child amount. And this amendment goes to page 10, line 11, and after shall inserts be paid for each eligible licensed child care slot and shall, then it says not exceed 50%. So this states clearly what the intent was in this provision that was not in the original language. And then the remainder simply helps support the first part of the amendment concerning outcome measurements. Stand for questions, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for the first time? Chairman Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment is a friendly amendment to the basic bill. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 92, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Amendment is adopted. Now on third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 92. Representative Sinlock, you care to move that amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment to House Bill 92 and ask for your favorable consideration. And I accept the admonishment this morning, Mr. Speaker, and apologize to the House and to the good chairman of the Health and Labor Committee. This is a rather far-reaching amendment, and I apologize for coming at this time with that. But anyway, these amendments that I propose here, Mr. Speaker, members of the House, provide a more cautionary approach in moving forward with this new program. There are aspects of the quality child care program positions will remain in the bill and will continue to provide the technical assistance and quality support to ensure that our children can attend quality daycare centers. So let's quickly go through these amendments. Starting on page one, there's some changing and acting clause that will reflect some of the proposals that I have brought forward in this amendment. And let's just follow through on page two. And what these amendments will do is go into the quality rating system and the incentive payments for our level of health and care and the scholarship and professional development piece of this bill, and it removes that. It leaves a very important piece in there, I believe, and that's the technical assistance and quality support portion. And moving on the top of page four, there's a non-discrimination clause there, and I'm not sure if this was necessary, but I thought it was important to add some language in this portion of the amendment that would be somewhat of a disclaimer also to say that if we're providing state support for these quality child care centers, that let's make sure that we don't put restrictions on them, that they have to receive children into those facilities that apparently might not be able to provide the services, particularly with children and disabled, that sort of thing. So, moving on, top of page 5, and the bottom of page 5, line 114, there's a change in language there. Proposal will take the rating system out and just change that language to evaluating. Going on to page 6, the rating portions of this bill are removed on line 12, a change in the language that talks about how you become eligible for the program without having the different levels of quality that's in the rating system. And then moving on to page 7, the deletion of the staff qualification education portion of that is reflected. That is renumbering there on the remaining of the page. From page 8 on, page 8, line 15, the quality incentive payment portion is deleted by this amendment. And that follows through on over to page 11, the professional development incentive portion would then be deleted. That goes on over to page 12, through line 8. And then we come back with some compromising language, I guess you could say. Now that we've proposed to remove the quality levels out of the bill, to add some language in there. Instead of saying you have to meet a certain quality rating, we'll just say that if you meet the minimum qualities in the criteria as provided in WS 14.4 and so forth. Moving on to line 7, page 12, this is a reduction in the amount of money that would be available to grants per child from $3,000 down to $500. These are important payments. I would tell you, though, that they're offered through a competitive process to provide quality child care for children whose care may be otherwise difficult to obtain in the community. So that portion is left in there. It's just some reduction in the payments. And finally, on the appropriation has been reduced to reflect some of the removal of some of the provisions that were provided in the original bill. The appropriations decreased down to $2 million, and the same provision that was in the Appropriations Standing Committee amendment that would allow for this program to go forward with $50,000 to write the rules, that still remains in this amendment. And I think that's important. We need to leave that in there. And then the $50,000 instead is deducted from the $2 million that's left in the bill and reflected on the last line of the amendment on page 44, page 2, for a total appropriation of $1,955,000. So, Mr. Speaker and members of the House, I think we all believe that the children and grandchildren are the blessing, and their care is primarily the responsibility of the parents. But we also realize that there are many situations, some by choice and some by need, where children will be placed in the hands of others for their care. And the state has found it necessary to license these facilities, and that is a good thing. However, when we consider the provisions of House Bill 92, we are contemplating a giant shift in public policy. So, members of the House, I would submit for your consideration the following reasons why I'd ask you to support these amendments. First, we have currently ongoing state programs to assist families with child care. I think the subsidy is around $12 million a year and assists approximately 5,000 children and 3,000 families. Secondly, where communities all over the state are currently being served by preschool children's centers. They provide quality daycare for families who are in need of that service, and they especially provide services for special needs. Preschool children. And finally, I'm concerned about the accountability with the quality rating system, incentive payment, and the scholarship and professional development piece of this bill. Now, the amendment that we just passed will help address some of these concerns. These three pieces, the quality rating, the scholarship, and the incentive payments, they are admirable and worthy goals to achieve for daycare providers. I'm troubled by the lack of accountability. In other words, all the investments that we put into these areas produce results that can be measured and evaluated. Government programs are often criticized because they duplicate other efforts and their cost benefit ratio is somewhat low. If we move forward with this proposal, let us target the assistance where it is needed, but set aside for the time being portions of this bill that lack accountability. I believe these proposed amendments will accomplish both. And thank you, Mr. Speaker. Let's have the discussion.
My first time. Representative Eichel, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to ask for a division, please. Division for between lines, from starting at line 20 on page 1 and ending line 26 on page 1.
Would that be the only division?
Yes. And all the rest in my division would be number 2.
That will be division number 1. The remainder of the amendment will be division number 2. Which portion of the amendment would you like to address first?
Mr. Speaker, number 1.
We are on division number 1, which is lines 20 through 26. Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
Please proceed.
Thank you. This is a rather simple division. I just want to make sure that this part, which I have no problem with whatsoever, would remain in the bill. It's a good reminder to include in order not to have such referrals questioned and underused. And Mr. Speaker, I'll reserve my further comments on number 2 for a second time.
Is there anyone else on Division 1? Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Although this is admirable language, it's not really necessary in the bill. The development of preschools do have lead agency status, meaning that if anyone who works in the child care industry, including pediatricians, public health nurses, anyone, if they suspect a child has a developmental disability or a delay, they're required by law to report that within 3 days to the developmental preschool, who then contacts the family. So there is a process in place now, and And I might add that in Crook and Weston counties, the Child Development Center does have child care involved, but not every Child Development Center does. It's just an additional business that they choose to engage in. It doesn't have anything to do with the delivery of special education services for children in that part of the world.
Anyone else for their first time on Division One? Second time? Seeing none, we're voting on Division One of the Third Reading Amendment 2, Third Reading Amendment Number 3 to House Bill 92, Division One, our lines 20 through 26. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. Amendment is adopted. Division being called for. All those in favor, please rise. We're now on Division 2 of the amendment. That would be the remainder of the amendment other than lines 20 through 26. Representative Landon, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to further divide Division 2 and just simply one line. I think this one line could make a great difference as far as what our purpose is, because it's the line that's on line 13. I'd like to further divide that. We can call it Division 3 if you'd like, just line 13 on page 1.
That is divisible. This will make that Division 3. Do you wish to address that division now?
Mr. Speaker, this seemed to me, this one wording change said a great deal about what the scope of this bill could be. That the quality child care system is created for the purpose of, currently it reads, purpose of providing. Well, this amendment changes it to purpose of supplementing, and I believe that really is the purpose of this bill. If we were providing, the state does provide some things. The state provides education for K through 12. In this case, I don't believe we want to get into the business of providing, but we this would advocate that the state was willing and saw purpose to supplement that quality child care that is presently being provided by private and other groups.
And that's for the first time in Division Number 3. First time Division 3. Seeing none, we're voting on Division 3 of the amendment. Division 3 is line 13. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. Amendment is adopted. Division 3 of the amendment is adopted. So to recap, Division 1 has been adopted. Division 3 has been adopted. Barring any further divisions, we are now on Division 2 of the amendment. For your first time, Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think that this is a significant shift in this bill to remove the quality rating system. You know, there are several things that this bill is trying to accomplish, and one of the big ones is that we not only have child care available, but the child care that we have is quality. It's not just dump them off, put them with a sippy cap in front of the television and watch Sesame Street. We want to know, because they can do that now, and they're licensed. licensed means safe. Licensed means a good child-adult ratio, a safe child-adult ratio. It means nutrition is met. It means the safety needs, including if there needs to be a fence, that the play equipment is safe. Licensing means safe. And we've already got that. But now the question is, do we want quality? Do we want to have a developmentally appropriate setting for the children? Do we want to teach them how to get along with their peers? Do we want to teach them how to make decisions? Do we want to teach them how to use scissors and clay and pencils and all of those kind of things? Do we want them to be in an interactive? Do we want them to be in a language-rich environment? Do we want to teach them how to hold a book? And that books are a good thing. The whole point of the quality rating system is to have people aspire to hire. We want them to do better than just the bare minimum, just safe. And we have 777 facilities that are safe, and some of them are even better than safe. But we have a whole bunch of facilities in our state that are not licensed, and we have no idea what's going on there because there's nobody minding the store. Parents in desperation seek whatever they can find so that they can meet their work obligations so they can support their families. I think quality is important. I'd like to quote from a book that's published by one of our organizations that our state belongs that helps legislators in research. And it says, it's talking about quality, and it says, another study found that having either a bachelor's degree in any subject or specialized training at the college level was associated with a more sensitive teacher-child interaction than having no bachelor's degree and having no training or only training at the high school or vocational school level. This seems to illustrate a threshold effect, indicating that teacher education or training alone may be strongly related to high-quality early care and education if received at and above certain levels. Across the board, teachers who possess higher levels of formal education and specialized training in child development bring the most to early childhood education. They are generally more skilled at helping young people develop and to achieve their potential. The benefits to all children of having well-qualified teachers in early care and educational settings persist over time, and then it goes on to list those benefits. We need to know what we've got. We need to know where we stand. We need to know what quality exists out there. And I think that the quality rating system that is implemented in other states, as cited by this same article, it helps parents understand not only that their children are safe, but they are getting the level of quality that the parents desire. I would urge the body to vote no on this amendment.
Representative Bracknell, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. What it is we want for kids, and children are important. We all recognize that. But I think more important, we need to recognize what it is that parents want for their kids, and we need to be striving towards helping them up their desires for children. Moreover, though, government cannot be the full solution to fixing what's wrong with families. I think my biggest hope was that we were going to come forward with more than just one solution, and that's that solution being, okay, government, here's where you can write another check and fix another part of family. If this is really coming out of what we call faith-based solutions, it's almost like trying to fix darkness with a little bit more light or night in some ways. This is a policy shift. We're continuing to grow government. If this is anything comparable to what we've done in the public school system, this could be a huge cost in the years to come. I think what disturbs me more, what concerns me most, is the potential step further in the direction of NMAP. Seem like a very subtle and not too big a concern on the part of many, but it is a step in further in the direction of putting more responsibility on government for the care of our kids. And I'm not sure that that's what we really want for our kids. What I really would like to see for kids is wholesome families. That's what we need to be working towards. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative McCauley, for your first time. Are you Representative Eichel? Y'all look alike from the back.
Hello, Mr. Speaker. Thank you. Mr. Speaker, I want to ask if this is my first time. I haven't talked on Division II yet.
It is your first time.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, I believe that taking out the rating, that's what we're doing. And the rating is something that provides incentives to these programs. And these incentives are for a higher level of quality care. That's what this bill is all about, is quality care. Sometimes incentives are taken negatively by those who, or ratings are taken negatively by those who are going to be rated. And that's because it's got the sense of setting apart the haves and the have-nots, the good ones, and, gee, the ones that don't make it. But they have a purpose. Also, I want to comment on the fact that if this bill goes forth, it passes, and then what we're going to have is we'll be going forth with the Oversight Committee work and the recommendations in which, if rating as a part of it doesn't hold up in that good interim work, to follow the good work that's happened in this previous interim, then that can be taken out or revised in some way. I believe it has a good purpose. It can be looked at again in the interim. It's an important enough concept in this purpose of this bill that I would like to see Division II fail. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Warren, for your first time.
Mr. Speaker, I was just going to speak a minute against the amendment, primarily focusing on one aspect, and that's the quality training aspect. Today, we're seeing a lot of kids entering school, first, second grade, and so on, and they're put on medication. And they're put on medication because they're super active, and people don't know how to deal with them. And again, I'm being rather oversimplistic, but they wind up medicating these kids because they don't know how to handle them. And what, in many cases, is happening is these kids, when they're younger, if they've learned some methods of self-control and they have some structured experiences, we can reduce some of these responses later on where medication is the solution. And what's happening in a lot of these young daycare centers or these young kids, they'll come in and the daycare workers don't know what to do with certain kids. We're getting more kids in daycare because we have more families working. So they get into daycare systems earlier. And they'll come in and they don't know what to do with these kids. These little kids will come with hyperactive problems, with problems of not really knowing how to communicate well. And so many of the workers have asked, we need to know how to handle these kids. I think back in our days, we just thought, you have a kid, you know how to take care of them. Well, today we are having a lot of problems earlier with little kids. And by having this quality training, these daycare workers actually learn methods of how to respond, and the research has shown it can reduce problems when they get into first grade, significantly reduce cost of medication, reduce other problems. And the incentive then also allows the opportunity for these daycare providers to get this sort of training that's very much based on research. So I think the quality training aspect is critically important for this whole idea. Thank you.
Representative Jorgensen, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
I think everyone in the body supports efforts focused on children. It's clearly demonstrated that it pays off. We have existing programs, as has been referred to, and it's important to keep those in mind and become aware of those, and I believe in the interim that those issues will be studied and identified, and the potential overlaps and gaps in that population identified. I appreciate the bringer of the amendment. It appears to me, though I wasn't involved in developing it, that it's addressed the issues that at least bother me. And those are, first, and to make it just as simple as possible, we only have one quality rating for K-12. It's a minimum, but it's, or you can call it minimum, maximum, whatever you want. It's acceptable, and it's considered adequate for our children. And I don't understand why we need to go into five subcategories, if you will, of quality in state-supported programs in any other area of people's services, if you will. Further, if we say we're going to have five levels of quality, I think in most of the state, we don't have the market setting or the competition to provide an offering. We may, in some rural settings, be lucky to have one or two organizations providing this care. I want to see the care provided for the needy element of the population and the at-risk elements, but I don't think it's going to hurt us at all to let the oversight committee, whatever the term is, work during the interim, address how many levels of quality we need, other issues, and come back, and if the bill, as it would be passed with this amendment, is still there to work on, deal with it next time around. The other question is, when we consider these kinds of expenditures, we need to think about the priorities we've set and are setting every day with bills in the amounts of tens of millions of dollars for things that have absolutely nothing to do with services to our population, particularly to our needy population. I think that would do it, Mr. Speaker. Thank you very much.
For your first time, Representative Osborne, for your first time on Division 2.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I really appreciate the work that's been put into this amendment. The big problem, as far as I'm concerned, is that the crux of the program is the quality rating system. It's a way that parents can have of evaluating what kind of situation they're going to be putting their kids into. It's a system that's worked in other states. It's a system that is in this bill is going to be rewarding the providers of the better services. I would resist the rest of this bill. I think we need to stick with the original one. It is well designed. It's part of the things that are taken out on this amendment have to do with the items that were put in the bill to make it be assured of being constitutional. And if we start taking those out, then we lower that to bar, I think.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem for your first time.
Speaker, thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, and I applaud the good representative from District 1 for his very conscientious and thoughtful work that he puts into most all issues that he comes in contact with on this floor. And my opposition grows from two reasons. One is the committee of the whole, amendment number one that we passed, which created the Legislative Oversight Committee. And that's four members of the Appropriations Committee, four members of Labor, and then it talks about what the Oversight Committee shall do, and that's provide oversight of the department's work toward implementing the quality child care program provided. That shall meet at least quarterly to receive progress reports from the department and consider future legislation necessary to facilitate speedy implementation. And they should report their findings to JAC and Labor by November 1506. There are third reading amendment number 4 and third reading amendment number 6 here today that are yet to come. Third reading number 4 is consideration of the Standing Committee Amendment from the Appropriations Committee. And number six is an attempt to require the department to come to this Oversight Committee with specific and readily calculable formula for expenditures under the Act. And then the second, third reading amendment number two that we adopted concerning the outcome measures addresses some of the issues that were discussed by the sponsor of the amendment we are now on. I agree accountability is critical and outcome measurements and performance measurements are critical, and I think we've already built that into this process. Whether this should be a five-star rating system or a one-star rating system, that is open to debate. But if you've seen any of the documentation explaining how that rating system works, level one would be a license provider. They have zero incentive payment. Level two, you get a 10% incentive payment, and it rises. Now, that's 10% of $3,000 per child if you're at level one. And there are also criteria to meet. I think the department needs to come back to this oversight committee and say, this is a better and more specific and readily calculable determination of expenditures rather than some of the vague stuff that's in that portion of the bill about at-risk and the volume of providers. And I think we can achieve that. To limit the bill in this amendment to, on page 2 of the bill, this is section 144201A, the only thing that is left out, what 201A actually says under this amendment is, the quality child care system is created for the purpose of providing or of supplementing, I believe, high quality care to children in licensed child care facilities, consisting of technical assistance and quality support. What does that mean? I mean, that's equally as vague as the other language about a quality rating system. Why couldn't a quality support include a quality rating system? Why couldn't quality support include incentive payments? Why couldn't it include scholarships for professional development? I think it can. And I think we can address it more specifically through the Select Committee. I mean, the Oversight Committee, remember, the Standing Committee Amendment is to say you can look at the incentive rating. The facilities can voluntarily come to the department and ask for the rating and see where they stack up. How are we going to know how much it might cost if we don't know where our facilities are in terms of rating? We can either say, okay, we're not going to use a five-star rating system. We're going to rate everyone the same. I'm more in favor, I guess, at this time of figuring out where we are in terms of this rating scale so we can determine how much the bill might actually cost. And I'll go into some of the other issues when we address the later amendments. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for the first time on Division 2? First time, second time. Representative Simlin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We're with the House. We have other amendments to cover, and we'll have a good debate on the merits of this bill, the merits of these proposed amendments. I'll just quickly address a couple of the concerns that came to the body of my proposed amendments. And the quality rating scale, you know, it's problematic that we leave it out. It's problematic that we leave it in. I think it's an admirable principle. I just don't know how we're going to follow through with the process to make sure that we can qualify that, particularly with the five different levels. So, you know, that's accountability. Part of that, you know, really troubles me. We have lofty goals about what we're trying to accomplish, but when we try to set them forth and then be accountable, have we achieved this level one? Have we achieved two? Have we achieved three? The payers are going to follow those achievements. How are we really going to determine with certainty and have a fiduciary responsibility to the people of the state that those goals are being met and they
oversight. And so I think we've got some real problems with dealing with that. The quality training part that was brought up, I just got one little point I want to make with this. When we use public money in these types of programs and we have faith-based daycare providers out there that choose not to get involved in this program because of the concerns that we find in the bill about religious, funding religious activities, I think what this is basically going to end up doing as we develop these quality training programs, while there might be some merit in that, I think it's going to have a tendency, and not legitimately, but it's going to have a tendency to pull people away from these faith-based programs, and I think it's an unintended consequence of that. So there's a lot of other good debate that's coming on this bill, and I thank you for your patience, and ask you just to consider our discussion. If you can find it in your heart to support this amendment, thank you.
We're voting on the second division of the third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 92. And the third division is basically all of the amendment except lines 13 and lines 20 through 26, which we voted on earlier and adopted. So all those in favor of division 2 of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no.
No.
Amendment fails. Division being called for. All those in favor, please rise. All those opposed, please rise. The Division 2 fails to be adopted. Members of the House, let me maybe clarify my concern on the third reading amendments. There were several amendments that have been in place for a couple of days, and I think that's fair. My concern were those that I suddenly saw flurrying out this morning that is often difficult for the sponsors of the bill to deal with. And I just, again, urge everyone to speak to the committee members or the sponsor of the bill when you do know you have amendments coming out at the last minute. Now on third reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 92. Mr. Speaker, pro tem, would you care to move that amendment?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I have a point of order first.
You may state your point.
Did you just state that second reading amendment by the division number 2 was adopted?
And if I did, I apologize, it was not adopted.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, I move third reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 92. Ladies and gentlemen, when I explained to you the standing committee amendment number 1 that we adopted, I explained it to you correctly, and I conveyed to you the intent of the standing committee joint appropriations committee amendment. But the actual language of the amendment did not do what I explained to you. And I didn't notice that until yesterday morning. So this would replace the standing committee amendment. And let me walk you through it again so you understand what the standing committee amendment was intended to do and as I had explained it to you originally. It deletes the standing committee amendment entirely. And then at page 18, after line 23, there is an appropriation in the bill, the original appropriation of $14,301,043. Of that general fund appropriation,
$1,381,473 to be used for purposes of implementing 144202 created by this act. And that takes you to page 5 of the bill, which is the quality rating system. There's the additional $50,000 that is for rulemaking. The remainder of the appropriation of $12,919,570 is the money that can only be spent with further legislative action, and that applies to sections 144201, which is the quality child care system established, 144303, the quality incentive payments, 144204, the professional development incentives, or 144205, the technical assistance and quality support. The 12 full-time equivalents in the bill were reduced to 7 limited persons for 1 year. And those people, those 7 limited employees in the $1,381,000 would be used to develop the quality rating system. And this enables the department to establish by rule and regulation a process for evaluating and rating the quality of facilities, and I'm on page 6 of the bill. And in creating that process, any facility, including preschools and developmental preschools, may choose voluntarily to become licensed, or which choose voluntarily to become licensed, may apply to the department to be evaluated and rated. Now, how do you rate them? Well, you need criteria to rate them, and that is subsection C of the bill that talks about the 5 levels of quality. And then page 6, line 15, the criteria to assess the levels of quality shall be based upon best practices and shall include but not be limited to. And then it starts with subparagraph Roman at 1 on page 6 and goes over through page 7. Now, those are the criteria that the department would use to rate the facilities who voluntarily wish to be rated. There are, and this is how I explained the standing committee amendment to you on a committee of the whole. And I'm sorry that we didn't catch that original amendment was incorrect, and I wanted to clarify that for you. And I stand for any questions.
Anyone else for the first time?
Chairman Phil. Mr. Speaker, I would just like to reiterate that was the intention of the Appropriations Committee on that standing committee amendment number 1.
Representative
Miley. Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to check on the date here. This station will terminate, these positions will terminate on June 30th, 2008. To me, that's a 2-year period, and I was under the impression it's going to be a 1-year period, but maybe I don't understand it correctly.
Thank you. Anyone else for the first time? Second time. Representative Miley.
Mr. Speaker. I would move to amend line 15, if we can do this, in the agreement of that to read June 3rd, 2007 in place of 2008, if that is acceptable.
Hang on just a moment. Members of the floor, our rules 24-7, C, state an amendment to an amendment cannot be amended. So this is truly the First Amendment to the amendment. So it is in order.
Mr. Speaker, it is a friendly amendment.
So if it is such a friendly amendment, I would say without objection, June 30th, 2008 is changed to 2007,
Mr. Speaker.
And clerk will make note of that. Thank you. For your second time, Mr. Speaker, pro tem. We are voting in favor of third reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 92. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. Amendment is adopted. Next amendment consideration is third reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 92. And Representative Landon, will you care to move that amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 92. Just to respond to the speaker's concerns about the amendments not being passed, how does this particular amendment reach the sponsors yesterday afternoon? Mr. Speaker, before I start explaining this amendment, I would like to amend the amendment and delete the first three lines, since part of the good representative from Crook County's amendment it passed and part was deleted. Those first three lines are no longer.
Without objection, the first three lines of the amendment are deleted. Please proceed with your first time.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an effort to do several things. It's an effort to make this constitutional, and it's an effort to put the responsibility for gathering information where it belongs. And thirdly, it's an effort to put parents in control. What this does is it starts out, this amendment has to do with quality of incentive payments. And it starts out on page 8, line 15, and it changes that to quality incentive voucher payments. And what it is advocating is to go down and, instead of having the primarily the, well, let's go down to the bottom of page 8, first of all, where you see that these quality voucher payments are going to be based on a sliding scale, not a sliding fee scale, so it takes out the word fee, which shall consider equally. I'm not sure that it's desired that it is considered equally. These three factors. Right now, the primary factor that is being considered is the percentage of children deemed at risk in the that the provider is serving. And what this does is this defines at-risk students or young children primarily as those who are from families that have a certain income level. How do we maintain that constitutionality that we can help those who are poor in our society? By adopting this amendment, what this does is this allows us to base on a sliding scale, which I'll consider the percentage, the number of hours of child care provided to children with vouchers as indicated by vouchers. So instead of daycare centers having to report the number of children deemed at risk to the Department of Family Services and getting payment, what the daycare centers will do is give to the Department of Family Services vouchers for the numbers of kids who have actually been given daycare services. Those vouchers will have been given to the daycare providers by their parents. It deletes, you'll see on the next portion, that it deletes out everything from line 5 down to line 13 with the exception of who is going to have those vouchers, and that is individuals whose household income is below 250% already taken care of the little I, the children with physical, cognitive, or social and emotional disabilities with your child development centers. Some of these other things that put children at risk is information that, according to this bill, would have to be shared with the child care provider. But I thought particularly in small communities where there's no requirements of discretion, I'm not sure how many parents are willing to share this with their child care provider. It might be a preventer from sharing this information. You know, whether or not a person was convicted of a felony in their past, whether or not the person had a history of child abuse, whether or not the parent failed to complete high school, that's information that just to me did not have much relevance in promoting this idea that we're going to consider those children from those parents at risk. And then, I won't get into this. It was an aside that I've met parents who knocking on doors who are felons, and they are very sorry that they can't vote, and they tell me about how they feel very responsible now, and they're raising their children, and so on. So I just don't think that that's very relevant. It goes on over to pages 10, and it just keeps following that. On line 10, it follows this whole idea of vouchers, quality incentive, voucher redemptions under this. One of the things that bothered me is the percent that can be paid. I think we should go into this with our eyes wide open. This amendment is advocating deleting that 50% and going to 80%. How did I arrive at that? I talked to the people at the Department of Family Services, and we currently subsidize low-income families about $12 million to help with child care for their children. The very lowest of those families are required to pay 50 cents, and then the rest of it is subsidized by the state. Well, 50% wouldn't do them much good. If they pay 50 cents, if a real high-quality child care requires $4 an hour, I think we need to raise that up to 80%, that the state, for the very lowest income, is going to say, yes, we're willing to pay our share so that you can send your children to the very same child care centers as people who have lots of private means, and truly make that part about discrimination a reality. Mr. Speaker, in order to keep with the constitutionality, I've gone on over and suggested on page 11, on lines 10, we take out the portion that says in salary enhancements. I don't believe the state can make salary enhancements without considering these people that work in the child care. I don't think we can do that constitutionally. If you're going to make salary enhancements, it sounds like they're employees. Mr. Speaker, I'm going to I'd just like to say that's what the bill does, and I want to just say a couple things as to why this is important. To me, this is important because it puts the ownership of this program in the hands of the families. It takes it out of being owned by the Department of Family Services. It seems that what we're wanting to do with this program is build assets in children, and build assets in parents. And the best way that I thought we could accomplish both of those things at once is to build those parents the ultimate providers of their child's welfare and care, which is what we've done all along. But this puts the ownership in their hands. They're going to have to be thinking, who do I want to take my child to and take my vouchers to? What child care provider would I like to do that who will give me some value for that? And if if they don't like this one particular child care provider, they can go and seek another. It also takes care of all of the portions that were brought up earlier that had to do with whether it was a faith-based organization. If the parents are the ones who do the choices, there's no constitutional problems with that. And if they want to take their children to their church's child care provider, be they rated 3 stars or whatever, that would be perfectly within their right. If they want to take it to another child care provider that's a 5-star that's somewhere else, that's entirely in their right. How would this work? I can envision this working in this way. When you take your child into the child care provider, on the early days, they'd give you a sheet of paper and they'd say, please fill this out and send it to DFS. If you qualify, we'll get more income and we'll be able to provide more services to your child. So it takes out that whole portion where the provider has to gather that information, and it puts it back where it should be, where there's that kind of discretion, and that information is protected by the state. So you fill out this piece of paper, you send it into the state. If you qualify, you can send vouchers for that month or for that next 3 months. If you're low income, you might get a voucher that is marked in some way that daycare provider might be given more per hour than if you were higher income, then you would expect to have to pay more, and the state would help less. Whenever the daycare provider redeemed those vouchers, if they were a 1-star daycare, then they could expect so much in return for that voucher. If they were a 3-star, they could expect more for that voucher. So that would graduate also. So that's kind of the proposal here. This idea isn't original. It actually came from a voucher system that's been provided for education in some states. And what that has done is it has increased innovation in their education system. And they have found that whether or not the education was provided by the state or by private providers through this, that all ships rose and the quality of the education rose with the program.
Representative Jorgensen, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm really not a Grinch, but it's been mentioned that we need to put this in the hands of the families. In my thought process, the reason many of the reasons these children are at risk is because the families are not capable, not through any fault of their own necessarily, of providing what needs to be provided. This ought to be a focused program on those who frankly may not be sophisticated enough to pick between 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. Given whatever amount of reimbursement or encouragement or vouchers. I think the issues that have been brought up recently in amendments indicate that the year we're going to take to look at this, I'm not always convinced the legislative oversight committee knowledge or any special skill or insight. I think the committee itself might be able to incorporate that, but be that as it may, we're going to come back next year and we're going to have a much better definition of sideboards for this program and where it ought to go and how it ought to be focused so that those who need it, who are not getting it from their parents or from a faith-based organization, have some support and they need it and they will get it. We will not deny it once it's, at least in my mind, I will not deny it once it's focused and identified and I'm comfortable with the system. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On it against the amendment, thank you to the representative from Sheridan for bringing this. It's an important concept, and we need to continue to study this. I'm not opposed to the voucher concept. What you need to understand, though, is how the bill was crafted. And it was crafted to be constitutional. It was crafted to meet two purposes, one, support for the poor, and the other, for the public good or for a public purpose. When we drop out those elements that this amendment strips out about the child's primary caretaker is a single parent, the child is being raised by someone other than the parent or adoptive parent. At least one of the parents of the child has been convicted of a felony. The child has physical, cognitive, social, or emotional disabilities. We lose some of the strength of our constitutional argument. And I would say that when you apply for or when they're determining whether what the payment should be, the parent doesn't have to give that information, especially if the parent or the child qualifies at risk on the financial scale alone. 250% of the poverty level, that's $48,000 a year for a family of four in Wyoming. Okay, that's high. And if that child is at risk, it doesn't matter whether the parent has provided any of that other information. So, let's stick with the bill as it's written, because there's been a lot of thought that has gone into the drafting of the bill. I'm afraid that if we strip that out, we lose the most important element of the constitutional argument, which is the public purpose, and we've got to have the support for the poor in there. Remember, this portion, this amendment amends those sections of the bill that can't take effect until we take further action. The voucher concept, whatever the scale, call it whatever you want, whatever we look at is addressed in the next amendment, and that is something that both the department should bring to the Oversight Committee with as many options as they can, so the Oversight Committee can address those and see where the department is headed, and we can then elect to take further action if we wish to at that time. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? First time. Second time. First time. Chairman Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to address the last part of this where the bringer of the amendment said that this would put parents in control. Is using the voucher system is okay, but the current program puts them entirely in control. They have a choice of any provider that they want to go to. They have now would have the ability to understand something about the quality that their children will see there. If they don't like that, they can go to another one. So I don't see that the voucher system brings anything to the program that isn't already there.
Anyone else for the first time on this amendment? Second time. Second time. Bringer of the amendment, Chairman Lennon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to address just a couple things. Just in response to the capability of parents, you know, I don't think that the way the bill is written out increases that capability of parents when the state is doing everything. And I think that one of the things that can be encouraged by a voucher system is it wakes people up that they are in control. That's an old argument that goes clear back to whether to have a popular vote and that sort of thing. But I have a lot of faith in parents, and I think that if they are in control, they'll make the right decisions many, many times. To me, the public purpose is actually something that bothers me about this, because I think that the income levels do sweep down a whole lot of the people that are listed in that rather extensive list to try to conform the bill to meet the public purpose. It's almost like almost a contortion to try to include all those things to meet the public purpose. And there's a number of things that have been left out of the bill that a person could also put in to meet the public purpose. I think the main purpose that we want to meet is a constitutional amendment that says you cannot give people, corporations, or other entities money unless it's to help the poor. And that, I'm not saying that everybody below 250% is poor, but I'm saying that that's what we need to focus it on, that lower income level of society, to give them the power to match their dollars with the higher income people so that all children can have equal access to daycare in the state. So with that, Mr. Speaker, I'll step down and we'll have a vote.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 92, which is the entire amendment except the first three lines, which were withdrawn earlier. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. Amendment is not adopted. Now on third reading amendment number 6 to House Bill 92.
Mr. Speaker,
pro tem, would you like to move the amendment?
Yes, please, thank you. I move third reading amendment number 6 to House Bill 92. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have your committee of the whole amendment number 1, you'd like to take a look at that because it goes to subsection 2C of that amendment. And that amendment was that created the Legislative Oversight Committee. And subsection C indicates that the Oversight Committee shall meet at least quarterly to receive progress reports from the department and consider future legislation necessary to facilitate speedy implementation of the quality child care program provided under this act. This amendment adds right there the sentence, the department shall recommend to the committee specific and readily calculable formulae, that's plural for formula, for expenditures. That's a fancy word there. Formulae for expenditures under this act, including but not limited to the monthly quality incentive payments to eligible quality child care facilities. This requires the department to look at other options for these specific and readily calculable formula for expenditures. And that formula right now is on page 8 and 9 of the bill. The last few lines of page 8 over to the top of page 9, and I believe needs more definition and more specificity. This would require the department to recommend options to the Oversight Committee and will be provided in the report to the Oversight, then the Oversight Committee would report to the Joint Appropriations and Joint Labor, Health and Human Services Committees by November 15, 2006. This puts another check in the road to say, look, make it specific. Let's see what your options are rather than what we've got in the bill that is in my opinion, too vague. I stand for any questions, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for the first time? Voice being called, all those in favor of third reading amendment number 6 to House Bill 92, please say aye. House opposed say no. House bill is adopted, third reading amendment number 6 is adopted to House Bill 92. Last amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 92. Representative Mercer, would you care to move that amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would. And I would withdraw it at the appropriate time. The first thing that I wanted to say to the committee that worked on this bill is thank you. You really did work hard. It's obvious that you worked hard. And then we really do appreciate all the efforts you put into this. But as I was reading it, I began asking myself, what are we really doing? What are we really searching for here? And I felt that we were asking the wrong questions. And if you're asking the wrong question, you can't come up with a good answer. I know that we've seen lots of interest in this bill. I've heard a lot of people say, boy, the emails are just going crazy. I've had lots of calls. And I know that you have. But I'm not necessarily part of that because I'm so new to this body. I wasn't on the lists, and I just learned this. So I haven't seen all of the stuff that you have seen. What I have seen is the emails and about the phone calls from the people who didn't know about it from an organization and who didn't know about it from the state. And as I looked at those, my phone calls were at a 75-25 split against this bill. As I looked at my emails, they were about two-thirds, one-third against this bill. And so that tells me that we have a whole lot of people out there that are really lobbying for something that they might have an interest in. And we all have an
child care to absolutely every child in the state. When I say we're asking the wrong question, I think it's appropriate to say, well, what's the right question then? And I think that as we look at this, and we decided to create yet another level of bureaucracy, another level of government to help us with our children, maybe we needed to say, how do we help parents be more involved with their children? How do we make our parents the experts on their child rather than deferring to other people as the alleged experts on all children? How can we best stop the spiraling decrease of parental involvement? And I think that if we take a look at a broader statement by someone that I think is very well respected in this body, one of our former presidents said that government is not the solution to the problem. It is the problem. We need to be empowering our parents. If we're going to do incentives, I think that Mr. Lamon had some good ideas. I think that we need to make sure that those incentives are structured so that we are encouraging involvement of parents within their families. We're strengthening the bonds. We're not saying, here's a daycare, here's some help paying for it. You can drop your kids off, they'll be safe, they'll be comfortable. We will do some education, depending on how much we decide we want to receive back from the government. The parents should be making those kinds of moves for their children. And they should be making those kinds of decisions. And they should be the ones receiving the incentives to make those decisions. Another question is, how do we improve parenting skills, encourage community involvement, and increase innovation? That was something that the bringer of one of the former amendments had brought up, that his voucher system he felt would really bring out, is to increase the innovation of our communities, our parents, our entire system, rather than saying, this is how we're going to do it. Let us spoon feed you this. Let us hand you this new program without bureaucracy. I was speaking to someone who's very close to me about this because I've been pondering this for several days. And one of the things that she had brought up to me was that several societies within our world have previously tried things like this. They've tried to go in and have the state start putting their foot in the door, and then it grows and it gets bigger. And pretty soon you have the state raising the poor children. What has resulted from a lot of that effort, and it was well-intended effort just as this is, what has resulted is that those children have not learned to bond properly. They don't know, because their brains haven't developed properly, how to literally bond with people, their peers, adults, anyone. And so we have this whole group and class of people out there who is left out of a huge part of what our entire life is about. And we can't allow that to happen, and we can't allow the foot in the door on this measure. We talked about, let me rephrase that. I've heard from a lot of people, because when my amendment came out, everybody's been pretty aware of it, and I've heard from a lot of people that really do see this as government's toe in the door and a slippery slope. And I think that an email that I received actually only about 10 minutes ago really helps bring that to the forefront, too. Someone who was very concerned, particularly about the findings in Section 3, has brought to my attention that particular section, in the future, can be used to coerce and force parents to turn their children over to state-approved child care providers. He and I both believe that philosophically, once the law is established that the government has a role in child rearing, such as what we're proposing in this particular legislation, that there is really no end to the measures that can be enforced and created and promulgated to then force that issue and to have the state then take over child rearing. We've heard that programs already exist. I believe that the number of $12 million was thrown out there is at least one program that is out there to help people who need help getting daycare. This exists. Perhaps we should work on what we have, our licensing programs. I have attempted to look for daycare, and I have gone to those agencies that are responsible for that and other child-friendly agencies that exist in my community. I couldn't get any information on enrichment there, educational opportunities, activities that they might provide, other options that might be out there. And maybe as we look at our licensing structure, we need to say that might be a good thing, rather than creating, again, a whole new system that would do that. Let's incorporate and use wisely and efficiently the things that we already have in place. Make those work before we start making new programs. I was a little taken aback by a comment from one of our representatives from Teton County who said that some families aren't capable of caring for their children, and I would heartily disagree with that. First of all, I don't know who decides who's not capable. And second of all, I think all parents are capable given the proper incentive and the proper reinforcement of what it is that they need to be doing with their children, the proper opportunities to be involved and not simply have your children raised for you. The more we try to help in some of these situations, the more we're really hurting. Because, as another person who has gotten up here mentioned, as we remove the necessity for parents to be responsible because the state is helping and taking over, we make parents feel that they are not as necessary, and they relinquish more and more of those opportunities and those responsibilities to the state because the state is willingly accepting those. Not only did I go and talk to people about daycare for my two small children, I also talked to them about the potential for enrichment programs. And it took me 3 days, numerous phone calls, many personal visits, to figure out that we had a swimming program and a reading program. No place existed in my county where I could go and say, what is out there that I can sit down with my child, I can be with my child, I can bond with my child. Nobody out there could tell me, and it took me 3 days to find two things. If we can bring this back into the realm of giving parents the incentives, giving parents the empowerment to go in and be a part of the child's life every single day, these programs will grow. They will be much better attended. We will start creating a generation that is going to be the good parents that we all want to see. And I think that's where we really want to go. We want to fix the disease. We don't want a Band-Aid for the symptom. How can we have our government help do that without pulling away some of the opportunities that our parents desperately want and sometimes can't find? At least in my case, I had some difficulty. One thing that I spoke about the first time I got up on this bill was that I felt that it really did compete with private industry and private business, and I still feel that. I think that it's a very important component of what we need to ponder carefully as we look at this bill. If we create a system of incentives, we are effectively creating the elimination of competition within our child care industry. Even with the public-private partnership that's proposed here, those who don't choose to participate simply won't be able to compete. And again, we're moving right down that slippery slope and right into the difficulties of government being able to say, bring your children to us. You don't have any options. You've got to come here. I handed out a little paper, and on that paper, I have a little subsection called Success and Failure. In my younger days, when I was 20, 21, 22, and on up to probably about 35, family. It wasn't me. I had two children. I met the income qualifications. I don't remember the other one, but I know what struggle is, and I know how hard it is. But I also know the opportunities that that struggle brings you and the change that that helps you make in your life for the better, because you don't want to stay there. You want to make good decisions, and you want to make good decisions for your children to help bring them along and help them learn how not to be where you were. And I think that that's a very important thing. Another thing that concerned me as I was sitting listening to the debate this morning is that there was a reading from an agency that helps us do some of our research. And in that reading, at least what I gathered, was that they were promoting a theory that those with higher education are better equipped to be parents, better equipped to be educators, better equipped to be the facilitators of our children. I would disagree with that, too. I think that the lot of a parent, regardless of whether they have a bachelor's degree, is extremely critical to every child's well-being. I'll go back to the Romania comment that I made. We have got to make sure that the love of the parent, the involvement of the parent, is there every single day. You don't have to have a bachelor's degree to love your children and do the right thing by them. And it scares me that that's being promoted out there, because we have a whole lot of parents who all of a sudden fit into a new category of people who are at risk. Let's not go down the slippery slope. I've heard this bill talked about as being workforce development. I do agree it's a workforce issue, but I disagree that it is workforce development. Further, we have employers out there who are begging for people to come to work for them. These employers pay a very livable wage. They are going out of state to Michigan and Illinois and Texas and Louisiana, and they are working desperately to fill the jobs that they have that pay very good wages. Some people really don't have a lot of choice about where they live, but most of us really do. And if we move down this path, I have another concern that says, are we subsidizing choices? Are we subsidizing choices of people to stay at a level that they don't need to be staying at? When it comes to the policy decisions related to this, I do love children. I have my own, and I love many children besides my own. We invite them into our home regularly, and we have a wonderful time. I believe we can do a better job of what we have been charged with as the government to help our society and help our parents and help our citizens understand their choices, understand what might be available, make sure that we are doing a licensing program that is functioning efficiently and well. I do not believe the state can fix families. I do not believe that we can do that unless we have the buy-in of our parents and our communities. And I don't think it takes a new bureaucracy to do that. I do believe that it's important that we empower our families. I think that the people in Wyoming can find some wonderful and creative solutions to these problems given the opportunity. I think, again, the government is not the place to be creating those opportunities and solutions. I certainly do not want to ignore this issue. I think it's important. I just think we're asking the wrong question. Let's ask how we get our parents in there and involved and in feeling important and empowered and being the expert on their own children. Again, there's been lots of interest. There have been a lot of amendments to this bill. I think that also speaks to the frustrations that so many are having with this concept. And I think we need to ponder that as we move forward. When I read this bill, again, I just kind of cringed. That was my first reaction to this bill. That was my gut telling me there's something wrong. If you had that thought as well, take a good second look at that thought. Don't let the rationalization of those who may have a financial or other interest in this legislation to make up your mind for you. Quality child care is important, and it sounds great. And we do a pretty good job. We can always do better. Again, I would encourage us not to have the government be the solution to this problem, and the parents be the solution to this problem, and have our communities get in there and really start making a difference for families and children. I have to vote no on this. My heart, my gut, my everything tells me I have to vote no. I hope I have at least brought you to a point that you're pondering this bill, that you're thinking about it very carefully, very rationally. You're thinking about where you want to go with your policy decisions as a governing body of this state. And of course, I have a hope that you would vote no too. And as you resolve these issues, I guess I would just leave the final decision to the wisdom of this body. Thank you very much.
For the first time, Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, there are some pockets of Wyoming that have jobs and provide living wages for everybody that really wants the jobs. But that's not true in all of Wyoming. There are so many places in Wyoming where those jobs are not plentiful. In fact, so many places where those jobs don't even exist. When we look at the future of Wyoming, I think there's some things I wonder about and hope. For instance, I hope that someday wages in Wyoming are high enough for all of our working families to be able to survive on one income, allowing a second parent to stay home with children. And I hope that someday single mothers in Wyoming don't have to work two or three jobs to support themselves and their children. I hope that someday Wyoming doesn't lead the nation in the percentage of parents that have to work two or more jobs just to be able to survive. I hope that someday the parents in Wyoming who have to work and who have to leave their children with daycare providers know that when they drop their kids off, their children will be in a safe and healthy environment. I hope that someday it's easier for child care providers that choose to get the basic training and safety, early childhood development, and basic education methods that they would like to have. I hope that someday there are enough child care providers for Wyoming's working parents to have a choice about where they place their children. Mr. Speaker, far too many of our working families have to work multiple jobs, low-wage jobs, just to survive in Wyoming, because there are so many pockets that don't provide the jobs. This bill won't raise the level of wages paid to Wyoming working families, and it won't change the fact that far too many single parents have to work two or three jobs just to survive. But this will provide some help. It provides a voluntary evaluating and rating system, which will give parents some comfort when they have to place their children in daycare. At least they will know that their children are safe and well cared for. It will bring more qualified people into the field of child care. It will help provide basic training for child care providers. And ultimately, I think that it will help many of Wyoming's children get a better start in life. This is especially true for those children that are from lower-income families. As long as Wyoming is proud of the fact that we're a low-wage state, we need this bill. And I ask you for your support.
From Zay Viper for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, this has become a monumental bill, and I think that's appropriate. Mr. Speaker, I don't want to take a lot of time, but I did have something I wanted to say here. I think we need to stay with the center on this bill, at least what I think is the center, and that's two different things. One is that with the vision of the Appropriations Committee, this has become a study bill. So let's keep that in mind. And I think it's a good one to have postponed for action so that more study can happen. And secondly, it's a bill about children and about investing in our children. What I'm interested in talking about is the delays that children have. And this, I believe, will have a huge impact on that. Too many kids, I think, are in need of special services in our schools. I'm glad that we have these services. Some of them are probably kids who could have been worked with at an earlier point in their childhood. It's wonderful that these services exist, and they'll always be needed in K-12 education. This bill is intended to address, at its core, the kids who can successfully be helped early, promoting achievement capacity. Clearly, some will not need as much of these special services, I believe, in the formal education system that we'll have later. Another comment I would like to make on, I've said it before, but brain development is critical in the first few years of life. Mine has been needed through my whole life. But I think I'm at a good stage. A house being built needs a good foundation on which to impose the structure in order to stand up well and true and to endure. We know how that goes. We built a prison once on sand, and we all know how that came out. I'd like to expand on the metaphor of a prison and submit that we must not imprison the minds and the lives of those future adults who, as children, will benefit from being discovered early, well evaluated, and intervened with for productive learning capacity. With that capacity, following them through further schooling in all their lives. Earlier in my life, I took on two foster children, brothers to one another. And then I adopted them as true sons, two kids who were damaged in their severely abusive and neglectful family life. I just want to tell you that I know about living with delays. I have followed the repercussions of delay in their lives right on into their 30s, each in his own way, one emotionally and unbonded, the other cognitively. And it's a sad matter. It's delay of any kind that I'm talking about, though. If we can find kids earlier, kids who can respond to foundational help in their brain and personal development, we're able to measurably help them to a point of improved learning and improved success in school and in life. This quality care bill is focused on those three out of four children in Wyoming who have both parents working. It's about those children of the 68% of Wyoming mothers who are working mothers. And we know that we need child care. We just know that. These figures, I think, should rivet our attention to daycare. Let's have the process continue. The structure is in place to continue to pursue this with further attention to concerns with Oversight Committee of the Legislature, with the ability we have to evaluate and pass or not pass, with the money held back for the second year of the biennium, and to revert to the general fund if this does not pass muster. For the goals which may be able to be attained on behalf of children, please vote in support of quality child care. Let the work continue. On and forth. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Corbett, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
vote in favor of the amendment and oppose. I urge my colleagues today to oppose this bill. I've never liked this bill particularly from the very beginning, and I wasn't going to speak here today on it, but the more we talk about it, and the more different phrases continue to be used over and over again in the discussion on the debate floor, on the debate today on the floor, the more concerned I am about this particular piece of legislation. I have some very philosophical differences with this piece of legislation, some of which have already been mentioned, some that I would like to reemphasize. I'm a big believer that if you're going to regulate an entire industry and an entire business, it should start from the bottom up. This piece of legislation clearly starts from the top down. We can call it what it is, but it is about government-controlled daycare centers. We've heard over and over again that this is about providing an opportunity for poor families to be able to provide quality daycare for their children. I was in a meeting earlier this week in which we were told that parents provide, even poor parents provide two-thirds of the cost of daycare for their children, and that amount is not going to change with this act. So we still have parents who are still going to be providing two-thirds of the cost of daycare for their children. Their only recourse then, in order to provide this quality daycare for their children, is to go to a daycare center that is under contract with the Department of Family Services. Now, the way I see it, that promotes unfair competition with other daycare centers who don't choose to participate under this program. That will be their only recourse. I would much rather raise the child care subsidy for poor families and allow them to make those choices themselves. Now, let's talk about the Oversight Committee. We're supposed to take some comfort, I guess, in the fact that we have passed an amendment providing for a legislative oversight committee. It's not about studying the act. It's very clear in the amendment that the oversight committee is going to oversee the department's work toward implementing this act. And the act is very specific about what's going to be implemented. And the other area is not only going to implement this act, but it's going to make recommendations about the speedy implementation of this act. I see nothing in here about studying this act for further consideration and for further changes. Look through the bill over and over again. Page 2, the quality child care system shall provide. Shall is continuously used throughout this act. A facility shall enter into a contract with the state. The facility shall agree. Time and time again, there shall be 5 levels of quality. I don't see may in here. I don't see study. I see shall over and over and over again. That specifically directs the Department of Family Services on what we expect from them in making this act and this program happen. So I really think about what we're doing here. There is very little wiggle room in this act. I've also been, it bothers me greatly to hear comments made, we need someone to, quote, mind the store. Now, if that isn't Big Brother looking over your shoulder, we need someone who will define how we teach, quote, our children to get along. We need to make sure our children are safe and cared for. It's nothing more than Big Brother looking over your shoulder. I would much rather see this industry be encouraged by our legislature through funding to come together on its own, to define its own best practices, to regulate itself, and to become the industry that we would like them to be from the bottom up, not from the top down. And I urge this body to defeat this bill today. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Harvey, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have so many notes, and I could go on for another hour, but I'm really don't believe that that serves this county well. I guess I would like to say that parents are in the first line with their children, and they are the best, and they do have a divine right to decide for their children. The question comes to mind is, what if they're left without choices? That's one of the things this bill is addressing. And if I could just focus on the workforce issue part of this bill. And I heard that it wasn't a workforce development, but a workforce issue. Well, you're right, it is. And the issue is there are not enough people to provide the service for the children that require the services in the state. We have a huge gender gap, wage gap in our state. And are we saying that we don't value daycare providers, child care providers? Well, you know, they just don't really need any training. They just don't need anything but a TV and a Sesame Street. They don't need much. And so, therefore, they're not worth much. And, Mr. Speaker, I would submit to you that they are the most precious commodity that we've got, our children are. And that we want the best qualified people caring for them when there are no other choices. Parents don't have a choice. We heard testimony in committee from a mother in Cheyenne, who actually works for state government, who's not coming back to work. And her boss was there to speak and say, boy, I wish I could have her back. She said, I can't. I took 2 days off work and looked for child care. I can't find anybody to keep my child. We heard from a child care provider in Casper that said, my parents have to ask permission to have a child because they only want me for a provider and I don't have any slots available. Parents don't have a choice because there's not enough providers out there. How are we going to get more providers out there? We're going to value the services that they provide. We're going to help them by increasing the wages that they make. And in return for that, we're going to demand that they increase the quality. Are they worth it? And how are we going to measure that? This bill is about access to quality child care. And I would urge you to vote aye on this. Let us look at it for a year, and then let us implement what is best for the kids in this state.
Representative Thompson, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's not often that, no, Mr. Speaker, I'm not asking for privilege of the floor. Let me continue. It's not often that the oak tree of prose with its power is used at this mic. An email, Mr. Speaker, that some of us have received. I wish all Wyoming families had the luxury of two loving, committed parents living together with their children. I wish all Wyoming families had the luxury of one parent's income paying the bills so that the other parent could stay home with the children. I wish all Wyoming child care options were high quality so parents who have to use their services could feel confident about their child's well-being. I wish all Wyoming parents could afford to pay the cost of the quality care they want for their child. I wish all Wyoming parents could readily tell the difference between the high-quality program and the one that lets kids watch TV all day. I wish Wyoming would support the working parent majority and improve the quality of child care by implementing the Quality Child Care Bill. I wish you would support House Bill 92. Wyoming's children deserve it. This is a mother somewhere in Wyoming. Representative Newbold for your first time. Members of the floor, I do not want to discourage new debate, but I do have a majority floor leader who might be itching to call for previous question. Please continue.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I agree with you, Mr. Speaker, we probably have reached the point where the minds in this body are set on the basis of philosophical and spiritual factors, and probably no amount of debate will change that. I would just like to point out, obviously from my perspective, that to support this measure, there are certain assumptions that I think are worthy of reviewing in your mind about this bill. Assumption number one is our opponents in the state cannot achieve now positive early childhood development outcomes without government help. Assumption number two, this measure will in fact affect a favorable behavior change for parents and families in our state. Assumption number three, presently available public programs to enhance early childhood development cannot be improved in order to meet the needs of our state. And assumption number four, House Bill 92 will affirmatively achieve its stated goals in a publicly affordable way or, in fact, at any price. I have a very difficult time accepting all those assumptions.
Representative Jackson, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today I stand here and I ask that you think back on what I said the other day and the problems that our schools face because our children are not prepared to be there. I'd really like you to consider those problems that I brought up. They're real and they cause a lot of grief within our society, and they're real for a lot of different reasons, and I'm not going to plow over this field again, but I did want you to rethink of the examples that I gave you the other day and what they cause in our school system. I'd also like to say that today I've heard lots of wonderful debate here. I haven't agreed with all of it, but I've certainly appreciated it, and I appreciate the various points that have been brought up concerning this issue. In closing, I'd like to say this. It's easier to fix a child than it is to repair an adult. And with that, I would ask your support on this bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
I announce for the first time. Representative Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate everybody's patience. This is a great debate. This is a great issue to debate. And if we had a problem with our patience on this, perhaps we should have voted against introduction in a budget session, because this is a major policy shift for the state of Wyoming. Aside from the concerns that I articulated earlier in the week on whether or not this bill provides greater access for parents to child care, aside from the issues relating to the fact that no state funds can be used to any real extent on religious observances or materials, I want to focus on the philosophical part of this. You know, how far do we go with this process? This is a great theory, but there are a lot of other great theories out there. You know, you talk about health insurance. We don't spend money now on health insurance yet. It'll probably cost the state a lot in Medicaid dollars down the road. We can provide health insurance to everybody. Why not? What a great idea. Let's just do that. Well, think about that for a little bit, and you'll find out that's not such a great idea either. Or retirement for everybody. You know, we all make choices in our lives that get us to a point, but it's not the government's responsibility to catch everybody that may fall because of their circumstances. And that's not to say we don't do a heck of a lot for the disadvantaged in this state. I was sitting down and what came to mind was the Kid Care program. We offer health insurance for kids to make sure our kids
have health insurance. We expanded that program. There's even, I think, some legislation out there, and where it is now, to provide health insurance for the parents of some of those kids. We do a lot for the needy and the poor and the people that have fallen through the cracks, but we cannot be all things to all people, and that's the road on which we are going down. Paying millions for developmental preschools. We expanded that amount per child. This body did that. That's going to go through. Fiscally speaking, $25 million a year. And if you think that the appropriations amendment that pared this down, it's going to delay this a little bit, it's going to save us any money, I respectfully say you are mistaken. This program gets out of the door here. It's not the camel's nose under the tent. The camel's in the tent. The tent is gone. You're going to spend this money. It's $25 million a year. That is an estimate. And when the government estimates on expenditures, do they ever overestimate and it came in less than what they thought it would be? No, it's going to be more than $25 million a year. That's anecdotal, I know, but that's also based on most of our collective experience. Why not, if you're going to spend that kind of money, why don't we concentrate on some of the other areas that were identified in the Children and Families Initiative? Okay, why do you have folks that have to work the two jobs? Why are people having children if they're not economically able to do so? Why are people getting divorced and creating single-parent households? That's not a disparaging remark to anybody, but those were problems identified in the Children and Families Initiative. Why don't we spend these millions of dollars on solving the problem up front instead of continually trying to fix the problem after the horse has already left the barn? I don't understand that. Legislative Oversight Committee. Again, it's great that we pared this down, but why can't we come in with a major, this is a major piece of legislation, and it's half-baked. I've seen it in the amendments, I've seen it in the debate. It's half-baked. And the reason it's half-baked is because we had to appoint a Legislative Oversight Committee through amendment to say, whoa, wait a minute, let's come back and do this and see if we can make this work the next year in a budget session. This is the way we want to pass laws. This is the type of legislation we're going to produce in a budget year. I'm not comfortable with it. I'm not comfortable with the entire concept right now, philosophically, fiscally, and because I just don't believe it's ready. And it's not a comment, I'm not against it because I'm against helping people or children. None of us are that way. Our votes on all these other previous legislation I mentioned are votes that indicate we all care about these issues and we all care about these people that face these problems every day. But I think there's a silent majority on this floor that knows that this is not the right time for this legislation. It needs more thought. And it needs more discussion before we go and spend this kind of money. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone else for their first time? Representative Brechtel.
Mr. Chairman, I really appreciate the debate. I came actually helping to bring this to, I think, what was fair debate. But mostly I wanted to learn. But I am concerned. We're on a path with no return. We're talking about seven new positions, bigger government, change in policy that I think is concerning, more government responsibility for children. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, in support of the amendment.
First time, Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I know there's a lot of emotion with this bill, and there are a lot of philosophical issues with this bill, but let's focus on what the bill does. Okay, the government is not going to come in and take Wyoming's children away from Wyoming's parents. The bill is going to allow for a look at the quality rating system and an incentive payment system to daycare providers. It's child care. It's voluntary child care. And you can take any issue we deal with in this body and take it to the extreme and be scared. Believe me, you can. I share in some of those philosophical concerns, truly. But there is a segment of our population, which are our children, which I think we undervalue and underserve. And it's those that are not in kindergarten and those in daycare.
If you talk to your daycare providers, do they support this bill?
Heck yes, they support this bill. Most of them do.
One daycare provider tells me, I spent 50% of my time teaching the parents how to parent. Well, that's not the intent of this bill to fix that or to address that. It's to provide the quality care for the child whose parent leaves them there voluntarily, whose parent is working. The Standing Committee Amendment, you know, with great respect to my colleague from Torrington, he is saying that the language in that Standing Committee Amendment about it requires for the legislative action to spend another $12 million is bunk. That's not true. The Appropriations Committee spent a great deal of time looking at this issue and agonizing over what do we do? How do we continue this out onto the floor for this debate and put some checks and balances in it? And that's what this does. We have a chance. The Oversight Committee, yeah, it's not perfect. It's not a select committee to create the system. It's the department initiative that has come to this body. It is a huge group of people around Wyoming, citizens of this state, who participated in this initiative. I value their input. I went to some of those meetings. I saw what they said. And I recognize the need. And I recognize the fears. So let's take a step. Let's vote this. Let's send it over to the next body. Let them work it over. We've worked it over. And see what comes back. This won't be the last vote you get on this bill, but I urge your defeat of this amendment.
As a partner for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I could speak about all the issues that are here, but I just wanted to tell you I got an email from one of the daycare providers in Evanston just a minute ago. She said that last week she had 21 requests for daycare. It only had 3 slots. And she said that the young mothers sat and cried and begged her to take their children. The point that I want to make is that there's no question that we need daycare. There's no question that we need to make the daycare as quality as we possibly can. And there's no question that we won't have good daycare in the state of Wyoming until we make it an honorable profession with a livable wage. And this doesn't solve all the problems, and this isn't probably the greatest thing. I have philosophical differences, but this is a good start. This is a good start that deals with the reality of the situation in our states. And our state is that we have to get good daycare for the thousands and thousands of families and children that need it. And this is a good start, and I urge your support of this bill.
I announce for the first time, Ward St. Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, I don't enjoy standing up here and working on defeating a bill, but we're sent here to work on bills, and we have some hard choices to make. No one in this body doesn't want better opportunities for the kids in Wyoming. But I'm not going to address philosophy that's in here. I'm going to address the bill. This is an immature bill, Mr. Speaker. It's vague. And the consequences are uncertain. Let me just give a couple examples. The Department of Family Services will control. They are setting 5 stars, and they're going to control on those levels. He who pays controls. I believe that's going to stifle innovation. If you jump through those hoops, you will have achieved the top, and you're going to get the prize. Daycare centers in this bill are the ones who are advocated to gather the private information from people. There's no rights to privacy from daycare workers. They have to do all the paperwork to keep all this, and how is the Department of Family Services going to know whether it's true? They're going to have to come audit them. This is going to have to be written and in files. Finally, there's provisions in this bill that I think are harmful to employees. There's provisions in here that there can be salary enhancements and scholarships to help employees do a better job. And it sounds great, but what happens if they have to move? What happens if things don't work?
on page 11, it states specifically. Now, you can imagine that these are low-income people or just working people. If they have had these scholarships, if they've done this and another opportunity comes along or their husband moves, the recipient of an incentive payment pursuant to this section shall immediately repay all funds provided by the to the recipient pursuant to this article, and then together with attorney fees and cost of collection and all that. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Speaker, this probably bothers me as much as anything. This is a new proposal in this bill that I've never seen in my 8 years here. And that's this proposal that we send it to an oversight committee. No longer are we saying, let's hear this proposal by the entire legislature, by all the representatives in the state. We're saying, let's send this to a small select group, this idea, and let them go ahead and craft it. That is not a good idea. I think it takes time for bills to mature. We saw a bill come through here 5 or 6 years ago that had to do with nursing education and nursing reimbursement because we wanted to strengthen the medical system in the state. It was a good idea, but it failed the first time through. And it didn't fail because it wasn't a good idea, but it failed because there were provisions in the bill that people were uncomfortable with. And that is what should happen to this bill. Unfortunately, Mr. Speaker, is that this bill should fail. It should have another interim's work. The committee has seen a lot of things that we want to work on, and they should bring it back in front of the whole House for everyone's consideration before moving forward. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Leader. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the previous question. This motion is non-debatable. It requires 3 seconds. Representative Wasserberger. Representative Thompson. Representative Olson. We immediately go to the vote whether or not what the vote you're about to vote on requires a two-thirds majority. And the question is whether or not the previous question is demanded. If you vote in favor, that means you wish debate to end, and then we will then go to a vote on the bill. So the vote affirmative, aye, means yes, I want to vote on the bill immediately. No means you do not want to vote on the bill immediately. Any questions? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Beck. Carter. Berger. Rectal. Brown. Buchanan. Ewells. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Gay. Gilmore. Gingery. Goggles. Hageman. Hammonds. Harshman, Hardy, Bastard, Hinckley, Michael, Dillaway, Jackson, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Ludlow, Barton, McComey, Mercer, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Henderson, Peterson, Phil, Powers, Horford, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlich, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Swanitzer, Mr. Speaker, I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 54 ayes, 6 noes.
The request for the previous question has been sustained. Representative Mercer, this is now the appropriate time, and I appreciate your withdrawal of your amendment on the bill. We are now voting on the bill itself. Voting on the bill itself, House Bill 92. House Bill 92, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson, Agnew, Barnard, Berger, Sanders. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Gay. Gilmore. Gingery. Goebbels. Hageman. Hammonds. Hirschman. Harvey. Astert. Hinckley. Eichel. Elloway. Jackson. Jones. Jorgensen. Landon. Lockhart. Lubnow. Martin. McComey. Mercer. Miley. Miller. Morgan. Olson. Osborne. Peterson. Peterson. Philp. Powers. Forward. Mr. Minority Floor Leader. Robinson. Samuelson. Simlick. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Slater. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Wasserberger. Watt. White. Swanitzer. Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 37 ayes, 23 noes.
We receive the affirmative vote of the majority of those elected to the House. House Bill 92 has passed the House. Before committee announcements. How about caucus announcements? Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock and H18 will consider Senate File 38, Senate File 104, and Senate File 93.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Republican House Caucus will meet at the golf course at noon. Please bring your goldenrod.
President Martin, Minority Caucus Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Democratic Caucus will meet at Little Market as soon as we get there. Thank you.
Any other announcements? Mr. Majority Floor Leader, would you like to outline the schedule for this afternoon?
I would, Mr. Speaker. We will come back into session at 2 p.m. This afternoon, we will immediately go into the completion of the first reading of the budget. Following that, we will close the budget, the first reading, and then go into general file. And here, certain portions of Senate files, we will try to work to 5, maybe a little bit later this afternoon. We will not have a second reading on the budget until tomorrow, and then we will have the budget cleared up, hopefully by Friday afternoon. Mr. Speaker, I move we recess until 2 p.m. today.
Heard the motion. All in favor say aye. Opposed say no. Motion carries.